Hello, and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast. My name is Taylor, and today I interview a runner with three marathons under his belt. But what I really loved about this interview is getting to hear another perspective on the Boston Marathon. We've had several BQers on the show, but today's runner is someone who's ran it twice through charity and gets to talk about his experience as someone who didn't qualify through time. We break down some of his weight loss journey and how he got into running, his first and second Boston experience, as well as how things have changed for him from there. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump right in. Please welcome Steve. Steve, thank you so much for coming on the podcast this week. I'm really excited to break down your story today. How's your weekend going so far?
So far, so good. Just kind of came back this morning from a 7-mile run. So it's nice to be sitting in the AC now and ready to, you know, talk.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, looking forward to, like I said, hearing what how you made it into this crazy world in the first place. But how'd you get started on your running journey here?
So from 2021, I was just over 300 pounds. So I kind of wanted to start living a better, healthier lifestyle. So my first year from 2021 to 2022, I kind of spent the time focusing on diet, nutrition, and exercise, and ended up losing just about 90 pounds by June of 2022. Which was kind of like my 1 year mark. And at that point, that's when I kind of went out and ran my first 5K. Kind of in between that, you know, I did a lot of walking during the, you know, the beginning stages of my little journey. And then I started boxing for a little while, which kind of helped with a lot of cardio work. Then when I was starting to do the boxing, some of the different programs they were doing in there, asked you to kind of like, hey, you know, go out and run a mile or go out and run, you know, for like 10 minutes and just kind of work on your cardio. So I started doing that. And at the end of 2021, I told myself I wanted to run 4 or 5K races and I wanted to do 3 Spartan races. So that was kind of where that kind of took off. March of 2022 is when I started training for my first 5K. One of my friends kind of took me out with him and we went running on the weekends on the rail trail and kind of just started out going out a mile, coming back a mile, go out a mile and a quarter, come back a mile and a quarter, which definitely helped, I think, with my training process and got me ready for my first 5K in June of 2022. And that's kind of where it all started. It was more of trying to make some better, healthy lifestyle changes and keep myself motivated to keep moving forward.
Yeah, that's great. I think we've joked on the show a little bit about how running either finds you or you find kind of some intrinsic reason to get to running. So it sounds like the overall kind of getting back into movement and that sort of thing was what brought you here, which is great. And this friend, was he a runner himself or was he going through this process for the first time with you?
He was more of a runner than I was. He ran before a lot, but he kind of would take breaks. So he did the 2018 Marine Corps Marathon, I believe. And then kind of after that, he just kind of stopped. And I think he was just kind of like every so often would go out for a run. And then once I started going through this, you know, weight loss journey and started trying to run, and when I was talking to him about it, he's like, hey, I'll go with you for a run. So he kind of helped, took me under his wing to get me ready for my first race.
Sure. Yeah, so it was your idea to get going and maybe got him motivated. That's awesome.
I was never into running before. I've tried a couple of times, never enjoyed it until, like, you know, I think once I started being able to challenge myself and once I lost some of the weight, it was a little bit easier to do, obviously, than before when I've tried. But I think I've, you know, taking it at my own pace and starting slow, it definitely helped me enjoy it more so than I did before.
For sure. Yeah. And if you remember, like, why running in the first place? There's a lot of forms of cardio, obviously. You were kind of at a place where it sounds like you were looking for cardio in general, but why running specifically, do you think?
So a lot of, like, the boxing, when I was doing the boxing program, they had a lot of it was running. You know, they wanted you to kind of do a lot of running in that really helped with the cardio, especially interval running. When you know, for the boxing, it's typically like 2 or 3 minute rounds. So it was kind of like, hey, go out and run as fast as you can for like 3 minutes, then kind of slow down for a little bit, then do another 3 minute push. So that was kind of one of my reasonings for wanting to get into the running, was to help with my cardio for boxing as well.
Gotcha. Cool. I'm curious about the kind of 0 to 5K pipeline. What was it like starting to put on miles and build a little bit every single weekend?
It was great. I think just for myself and seeing myself being able to progress over time.
Yeah.
Going out every weekend, mostly running, like I said, on the rail trail. I would do it in my neighborhood a couple times during the week, and I would struggle. You run the rail trail and it's nice and flat, which is kind of good and bad. But then when you start running in the neighborhood and you start throwing a little bit of hills, it gets difficult, but it's nice and challenging. So I feel like every week it kept getting better and better, and progressing over time. So I think that was, for me, was what kind of helped, was being able to kind of just see that progression over time.
For sure. Yeah. Do you remember how long it was from like day that you put on shoes and started running to 5K? Like how long did you give yourself?
So I started training for my first 5K in March, and I ran in June. So that was about 3 months almost.
Yeah,
of training.
I think that's perfect.
It was, definitely good times. I'd go out at like 5:30 in the morning and try to beat the heat, especially, come May, June. So that was always a good challenge, and just kind of getting it up and over with.
Yeah. What did you feel like during that point? Your lifestyle is completely changing at that point. So what did you feel like was kind of like clicking into place for you that time at that point, like mentally, physically, what was all clicking into place for you?
I would say, and I think just that motivation of like, hey, I can do this. Like, I wasn't out there trying to run, 6 minute paces. I think my first 5K, I think I was running when my training started, it was like 35 minutes. And then I started progressively getting a little bit faster and faster. And then come the 5K race, like I said, it was more hilly, and more elevation than it was during training. So I was doing, I would start off great, and then I get to the hill and I'm like, oh man, I can't do this. Like, this is a struggle. And for me, I think it was just more of a mental game. Then just trying to keep yourself, in it and knowing that you can, and, just take your time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then race day for your first 5K, what was it like, crossing the finish line for the first time?
It was great. It was one of my first races that, it was the first race where, and there was no medal at the end, and I didn't expect or think of medals. And I see all the medals you got behind. I was hoping to have mine hanging up behind me, but they're actually all down in the basement hung up.
Uh-huh.
But when you cross the race and you're kind of like, oh, all right, cool. This was great. I did it. In the first couple that I did, there was no medals and stuff like that. So it was just more of like, oh, I did it. I accomplished it. And then I went out afterwards and, enjoyed myself a nice dinner down the street. But, I think having that finish, especially at that finish line, was where, on a 5K race is typically where there's people, cheering that you don't know. You don't really see them on the course during the 5K. So to me, it was just a whole new experience of just kind of having those, the people cheering alongside you.
Yeah. Hopefully you at least got a t-shirt. If no medal, that's kind of a crime for a race.
Yes, there was a t-shirt for that one.
Good.
There was a t-shirt. My family was there with, at the finish line. My buddy that I ran with, the last, to get to the finish line, probably the last tenth or so of a mile, it was uphill. And then you turn the corner and then there's the finish line. So I was struggling coming up that last hill. And he got to the top of the hill, turned around, came back down the hill, and then kind of helped motivate me to keep going up the hill. So it was nice having someone to run with that kind of stuck with me the whole time.
Absolutely. Yeah, especially in the beginning, because I think a lot of it is so unknown in the beginning when you first start your race journey that you can kind of like put intrinsic doubt on yourself of, yep, I can't do this, I'm not going to finish this. But when you have somebody with you in the beginning going, no, you've already trained for this, you can do this, just keep pushing, it means the world, 100%.
Yeah, it was definitely helped, especially getting up that last hill. And like I said, when you're on the rail trail, 3 miles, on flat surface, is a lot different than 3 miles with, 100 plus elevation. So
yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, cool. And then how did we progress from there? What were you thinking after those first couple experiences that kept you moving forward?
So after that first 5K, I actually ran my second 5K 2 days later, which was a lot better than the first 5K, but it was, you know, flatter. That one was another one where, you know, you cross the finish line, and I didn't even think I got a t-shirt for that one. I think I bought myself a hat, but there was no medal, no nothing. So, you know, that you cross that finish line and you're kind of like, all right, you know, I've seen pictures of medal, people with medals. I'm like, oh, how do I get one of those? But yeah, so, you know, the first two races didn't come with any of those. So after that second 5K, I then transitioned. My third 5K was in July, for the Christmas in July race. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was another good race. Unfortunately, it's no longer around. But that was kind of started, you have a little bit of street, and then kind of brought you to a rail trail. And, you know, after that, I was like, you know, I got three of my five out of my four or five Ks I wanted to do done pretty quickly. And then come August of that same year, it was the Spartan races kind of started kicking in. So I kind of switched over my training a little bit from running to doing a little bit more, you know, upper body work and stuff like that. That was, I did the Spartan race in August of 2022 for their super, which was like a 10K race with the obstacles.
Yeah.
Then I got to I don't think I did any other races in August. I think that was my only one in August. Then in September, I did not plan my race out very well, which I typically never do plan timing of my races. But I did the Spartan Beast up in Killington, Vermont, which was about 20 or so miles. And
wow,
it was pretty much all uphill. It was, the elevation was insane. Took me probably about 8 hours to do with all the obstacles. And then the week after that, I did my fourth 5K race, which at the time I was planning to be like my last 5K for the year. So I did that 5K race, and right around that time is when I got an email from a charity that I previously participated in, where they were looking for runners for the Boston Marathon in 2023. So in September, you know, it was, when I got that email, I looked at it and was kind of like, ooh, I'm like, can I do this? I'm like, one, right, can I run a marathon? Two, I've only run 5Ks. And then also I need to fundraise, you know, $10,000. Yeah. Otherwise it comes off my account.
Right.
So, you know, talked with my wife and, you know, it was more of, you know, can I do the fundraising and, you know, the time that it takes to train. So she was like, yeah, go for it. So that was kind of, you know, from there, I said to myself, I needed to now up my miles, obviously. And I started looking at 10K races and half marathons to kind of say, hey, like, if I'm going to do this, I need to be able to run a 10K and I need to be able to run a half. So I did sign up for my first 10K, which was in October of 2022. That was, you know, a great race. And I think to this day, that might still be my personal best. I think a lot of my first, my firsts were mostly my personal records. And, you know, at that point is, you know, during those trainings, I didn't really run for time. I was just kind of running for the distance and to see, you know, hey, can I do this? But, you know, that was a good race. And then I did another Spartan race over at Fenway Park in Boston,
which
was a little small. That was like their 5K race with a few obstacles. And in December is when I did my first half marathon, which was cold. So, you know, you're bundled up and it was a great course. Good, decent hills. But it was a good day. It was just different. And, you know, I thought, you know, I was going to struggle, but it, you know, again, not having a time to fall back on or no pace goal or anything like that. And just kind of went out and ran and, enjoyed the run. And, you know, to this day, that was probably still my best half marathon.
Yeah.
So you that was kind of
setting the bar high every race.
Yeah. So, you know, it was just one of those progressive things, you know, from pretty much from September to December was, you know, the test of like, hey, can I get to the distance that I need to get and get to the time on feet? So,
yeah.
So that's what I ended up doing. And, you know, in November is when I ended up getting accepted onto the Boston Marathon team. So I knew at that point that, all right, it's going to get real, like lots of training.
Gotcha. So from when you were kind of in that testing period, you weren't officially signed up for Boston yet. You were still like in the in-between stages of that whole thing.
Yeah. So the 10K race, I was not officially into Boston yet. So it's once I found out I was getting into Boston is that's when I signed up for the half marathon.
Cool. So yeah, so a lot of time to find out a lot about yourself as a runner, I guess you could say during that time. How were you feeling? Did you feel like the marathon was something that was doable once you got to the half marathon point, or were you still kind of feeling a little bit of doubt at that point?
I think once I got to the half marathon point, I knew I could do it. I didn't really, and again, I didn't have like a time of like, hey, I'm going to do this and crush it at this pace. You know, it's more of I'm going to go out and enjoy it. You know, it's, for me at that time, it was going to be a one and done, like, this is it. I'm going to do one marathon and I'm done. You know, with the marathons, this was going to be the only one. So, you know, go out, enjoy it, have fun. When I started in December, I joined down in Boston. There's a group called Charity Teams, and they work with different charities, organizations in the area to help with training runs. So the charity that I was involved with, they were part of this program. So I was able to kind of go on the weekends and run with them. So that for me was, you know, my goal at the point was, all right, they go out every Saturday for a run. I need to be able to keep up with them every Saturday. I need to be able to go out, do the distance, and, you know, get the run in. And, you know, so that's what I ended up doing. And during the weeks, I really didn't run as much as I probably should have. So for me, at the end of 2022 there, it was a lot of it was just kind of running on weekends. And I did like three nights a week of boxing during the week. Which, you know, for boxing, there's a lot of cardio and core work and stuff like that. So I think that kind of helped.
Cool. Yeah. And then on the weekends with that run group, were they just building mileage every weekend, basically, until Boston? Like everybody was, I'm assuming, training for Boston that was in that group?
Yep. So they had like a whole plan where, you know, they laid it out for you, like, you know, run these miles during the week, do some cross training days. Cool. And then, you know, every Saturday we're going to go out and do this many miles. And to be able to run with the group, you know, it was great because there was, especially in the wintertime around here, the last thing you want to do when it's raining or snowing is go out and run, you know, 10, 15 miles. So having that group of like, you know, hey, if like I need to go down, then there's going to be other people there with me running. And if I don't go down, like, you know, I missed the week, and it's, you know, the accountability, I think having that group helped with the accountability of just getting down there. And like during the week, you know, I'd try to run a little bit on the treadmill, but I wasn't running nearly probably as much as I probably should have. But I think, you know, having just knowing that every weekend I hit the mile, you know, that Saturday miles, you know, to me that was, all right, I can do this. Like I'm going to make it. And, you know, the nerves of fundraising definitely kicked in though. Towards the end of the year, because when you, you know, at the end of December, I think I was like, maybe at $1,000 out of the 10, and I'm like, oh man, I got 3 months to raise another $9,000. So it was definitely the pressure, I think, of that, like some of the stress and everything like that too, was, you know, on top of the running and the training. So.
Yeah, that's something I feel like that isn't talked about enough is the charity side of things. You're already stressed about running your first marathon and already stressed about the training and everything. And then you add this whole other level of, can I even do this thing? Otherwise, I'm going to be responsible for it, like you said. So how are you kind of like managing both of those stressors while you're working through this whole thing?
You know, I kept trying to find different, I had a lot of my stuff planned kind of towards the end of the fundraiser of, you know, closer to the Boston Marathon. You know, I'd go out every Saturday, I'd take pictures down in Boston, you know, along the course and post videos and try to get different, you know, donation kind of tactics that way. I had did some online raffles, but I was really pushing from January to when I had my fundraising event in March. I was going to businesses, all local businesses, you know, asking for donations, you know, stuff that I could use for raffle items. you know, football around here. You know, we had the nice Patriots season, and you know, I was like, all right, we had a Thanksgiving Patriots game, so I did a fundraiser for that, doing squares. Nice. And then I did the Super Bowl squares that year as well, and those kind of helped bring in a good portion. And then when I got to my fundraising event, that was probably the best thing I did, which sometimes I wish I did that a little bit earlier in the training.
So I was a little less stressed,
yeah. But, yeah. You know, I think, you know, trying to balance that and just kind of knowing, like, you know, you kind of have the backing, and, you know, it was, I think for me too, it was part of it was the journey I was going on, you know, 10 months from my 5K to Boston and not having, you know, before being, you know, overweight and a lot bigger, you know, I think people were still in shock of like, you know, holy crap, he's going to run the, you know, a marathon. And, you know, so I think that definitely helped a little bit, was kind of having, you know, that weight loss journey behind me and kind of that, you know, to show like, hey, you know, I can do this, like, I'm going to do this kind of thing.
For sure. Yeah, when you were talking to friends and family about signing up for that marathon for the first time, were they just like completely shocked? Like,
yeah, people thought I was crazy.
Crazy person kind of thing.
A lot of people thought I was crazy, and they still think I'm a little crazy when it comes to all signing up for all these different races and runs and stuff like that. But yeah, I enjoy it. It's, you know, and I think the more every time I finish a race, I'm already signed up for the next one, and that kind of helps with that motivation just to keep moving forward. You know, I think if I go too long without anything on the calendar, you know, you're just going to, you know, spiral back down to where I was before. And, you know, unfortunately, the spiral down is a lot faster than the spiral forward. So, so for me, I just need to keep having something on the calendar to keep moving forward.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I like the training regimen of the whole thing, of just having an end goal. I'm going to put in dedication that I need to put in for a certain amount of time to get to a certain end point, and then look for the next goal, 100%. Yep. I think it helps with training a lot.
Definitely.
Well, cool. And then, so we're progressing through training. You're going to these training runs every Saturday with this group. You're the first person I've talked to on this podcast, actually, that's ran Boston without shooting for a crazy Boston qualifying time. So was this group all shooting for, are they at all BQ'd in their signing or training because they BQ'd, or did you have a lot of, because it was a charity, you had a lot of other types of runners?
So this, the charity team's group was full, you know, of charity runners.
Okay, so no crazy BQers.
You know, there were some people that were fast. You know, that probably, I think some might have BQ'd, and some, you know, some of them will BQ and they'll still sign up for a charity. And then that way, you know, they're not fundraising as much, but they're still doing the fundraising part. But, you know, they were really good people to talk to. You know, a lot of these charity runners, they've been running Boston Marathon for years as a charity runner. So, you know, being able to kind of get some information from them, they kind of help walk you through things. And, you know, one of the messages who Susan, who runs the charity teams program, you know, she said to everyone, guys, listen, think about it. She goes, have fun. She goes, no offense to anyone here, but you're not going to win. So just go out there, have fun, enjoy the day. You know, for some of you, it might be a once in a lifetime kind of thing. But you know, you're not going to win. Like, just have fun, enjoy it, you know, and it's you versus you. So, you know, I always remember that every time I go and do a race now, it's, you know, I'm not going to win the race. Like, I know that, you know, so it's have fun, enjoy it. And, you know, for me, running was a stress reliever, right? Like, it's supposed to help with stress and kind of, you know, mental and all that stuff. So, you know, when you start worrying about times and stressing about, you know, how fast can you run and this and that, you know, it takes away from the purpose of running. And so for me, it's to, you know, I want to just keep enjoying it. And, you know, I did for a little bit get, you know, a little obsessed with time a little bit, you know, and it just, it's not good. So, you know, now my goal is to go back to enjoying it. And I think all my best times were when I wasn't worried about time.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. Yeah, sometimes you can take it so serious. I think I just posted a clip the other day where somebody said, like, you almost stress about being perfect so much that it ends up impacting you in a negative way. So yeah, I agree. And having that kind of being a little naive in the beginning helps with that a lot. Of you don't know how fast you are, so you're just gonna go out and do it based on effort and figure it out.
Pretty much, and you know, that's why, like, I feel like, you know, my first half marathon was my PR. My first marathon was my PR. You know, and I didn't know what to expect on either of those. And it was just kind of go out, have fun, and run. You know, I think, you know, I don't want to jump ahead at all like that, but last in 2023, you know, my first 11 miles was all under a 10-minute pace. This year in Boston, I couldn't get my miles under a 12-minute pace. Like, you know, I mean, it was hotter this year than it was last year, and, you know, just other things that day, and just wasn't, you know, on my side. But I think, you know, that race too, I stressed a little bit of like, I need to do better than I did last year. And, you know, my training had me as like, hey, I can do better than I did last year, but it just didn't happen. And, you know, different day, different, you know, different weather, and, you know, just whatever. So, you know, I think try not to stress about time. And, you know, I give kudos to all the fast runners out there, especially, you know, if you can run a 4.5 minute mile in Boston for 26.2 miles, you know, kudos. But, you know, for me, it's, you know, go out there, have fun, and just enjoy the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's goals are different. If your goal is to do that, to run the 4 minute mile, that's your goal. Yep. If that's not your goal, that's not your goal. 100%. Well, cool. And what was the, for training for your first marathon, what was the longest run that you did before your marathon? Like 20 miles, 18 miles? Where did you get to?
I did the 21.5 miles. So a lot of, some of the training runs, they did two big runs, down in Boston leading up to the race. One was the Superhero 17, where you start and frame, Natick. I think it's Natick. It's mile 9. You start at mile 9 and you run to the finish line. And a lot of us, you know, you dress up in a superhero costume of some sort or some type of superhero gear. So I was in a Spider-Man costume head to toe, running through the streets of, you know, Natick and all that.
That's awesome. Boston.
So that was fun. And then after that, they did a 21.5 mile run, which was from the starting line, you know, all the way up to the college. So that, you know, for me, that was, you know, great, you know, to run along the course. And, you know, lucky living around this area is just being able to kind of go down to Boston and run on the course and, you know, run those hills every weekend and, you know, get that kind of experience. And there's so many people, you know, I was running with the charity teams group, but when you're out there running, like there's hundreds of people every weekend just running on the course, which is great.
Yeah, did that give you confidence being able to see the course ahead of time, or did that freak you out a little bit because you got to kind of get a
pretty bad preview of it? I think it was the confidence, definitely. You know, so when I started training, it was kind of running from the finish line, and we ran would run in reverse on the course. You know, so we would run, I think we ran like 3 or 4 miles out the first week, and then you run back. You know, then the next week you run 5 miles out, then you run 6. So it was kind of, you know, adding every week almost a mile, you know, 2 miles. So that was kind of, it was just a great experience of just being able to finally, you know, you get, you run out, I think it was like 8 miles to the firehouse and then you run back. So yeah, now you're hitting all those hills and, you know, it was a great training experience. You know, it's definitely, the hills are a lot different, you know, at mile 19 or what, 18, 19 than it was at mile 9, but, you know, it was still,
but you know what to expect.
Yeah, it was still a good experience and good training. And, you know, like I said, it's a lot better than running on rail trails every weekend, you know, especially when you're, when you need those hills and training.
For sure. For sure. Cool. Well, that's unique. I like that you got to kind of check out the course ahead of time. So then in between your longest run and when, and race day, I'm assuming you had some sort of like taper period that you did. Was it a week, 2 weeks that you slowed down mileage, or what do you remember what that looked like?
I want to say it was probably about 2 weeks. So I did the 21.5, and I think the following week might have been like 14. And then I took, you know, I didn't even take a week. I don't know if the next week it might have been, it was the BAA 5K. So I ended up doing the 5K on the Saturday, which, you know, it's one of those, it was funny. So the BAA 5K, I actually forgot my Garmin watch that morning, and I was so mad. I was like, oh no. You know, and they told us, you know, when you run the 5K, if you're running the marathon, you know, don't go out to PR on the 5K. Like, you know, that's a shakeout run. Like, don't, you know, whatever. So I had no watch and I was just kind of like, oh, okay, I'm just going to go for my run. And I ended up missing a 5K PR by like 20 seconds. and wasn't purposely. I wasn't paying attention to pace because I didn't have anything on me tracking it. And I told myself, man, I'm like, if I had my Garmin watch, I probably would have pushed myself for a PR that day. But, you know, yeah. It was just, you know, it's funny because, you know, I wasn't really running 5Ks at that point. It was just marathon training. And, you know, I think my last race was January. It was in January of 2023. I did a 10K. And then that was it. After that, it was just, you know, marathon training. I didn't do any other races or anything like that in between just because I wanted to stick to that weekend schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's funny. Almost not having your watch maybe was a good thing. It kept you from pushing too hard.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then race day comes around, or I guess maybe the couple days leading up to race day. It sounds like since you're pretty local, you didn't have any sort of commute or anything like that. But like, what were the logistics that you were dealing with the day before and on race day for Boston?
I went down on the Saturday before, did the whole expo, got my brace bib. Did all the pickup and everything like that. It was quite an environment. There's so many people down there. It's the streets are full. You get to see the finish line all set up. The 5K, you actually got to run underneath the finish line, which was kind of cool. You know, I think, you know, just checking out the different things, the different stores, there was a whole bunch of pop-up stores. So the street, you know, the next street over from where the finish line was is, they had all these like little empty like kind of buildings and spaces that were just pop-ups. So you had like one store that was taken over by like Hoka, one store would be taken over by like Brooks. And, you know, I think they were all mostly run by Marathon Sports possibly, but there was just a lot of like little pop-ups where you can kind of go in and meet some other like the elite runners would be walking around and, you know, checking things out. So, you know, it was just kind of drive down and then I drove home. Sunday morning, the charity teams group that I ran with, they hosted a breakfast on the Sunday morning. So I drove down, did the breakfast, hung out down there for a little bit, walked around the expo again, and then, you know, drove back home. And it was just pretty much kick your feet up and relax. And my alarm was set for 5 o'clock Monday morning, maybe a little bit earlier, in order to be able to drive down to Boston to get ready for the race.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause Boston is on a Monday and it's kind of a late start, right?
Yeah.
From what I've heard from other
people. There's a lot of sitting around. So the start time for charity runners start around 11:15.
Yeah. That's crazy.
You know, so I think I was down in Boston by 6:00. And at that point they started shutting down the roads already. So as I'm trying to drive to get to a parking garage, you know, the GPS at the time didn't have the road closures. So it's like, take a left here. Right. And I'm like, I can't take a left. And you're trying to like, you know, navigate your way around Boston without, you know, there's all the, you know, one-way streets and this and that. So it definitely was tough. But you had so as part of the charity teams running, I got to hop on. They had a bus from the finish line to the start line. So cool. I was able to park my car at the finish line area. And so I did that. Found my way to the bus, and then the bus, we had a coach bus take us from the starting line from the finish line to the high school in Hopkinton, where we pretty much hung out there for 3 hours, which was just a long, like, sitting around waiting and, you know, eating bagels and just trying to, like, not eat too much. But, so it was just kind of a lot of, you know, the group up is from being with the charity teams. We have like the special entry into the school where some had to actually stay and sit outside. So if you don't, depending on what bib you have and who you got the bib through, you might have to be kind of outside versus inside. So we were lucky to be inside the school. And so at least it was a little chilly and wet that morning. So I got to kind of stay dry, which was nice.
That's nice. So that's what I was going to ask, was if it was pretty cool or if it was miserably hot. I know Boston is one of those races that's every year can be something a little bit different. So it was pretty decent conditions for you guys.
Yeah, it was really nice. You know, it rained a little bit, especially on the course, but to me, it was like a misty kind of rain. I think, you know, I think if we were outside, it might've been a different story. Like while we were waiting, we probably would have been a little bit more wet, but by the time we got out, it wasn't too bad.
That's good. Yeah, so good conditions. Everything logistically is going okay besides having to sit for 3 hours, but I think that's probably something you can avoid. Yeah. And then you got to the start line. So how were you feeling, like, nerves-wise? How were you feeling in your head, like, standing at the start line for the first time?
It was a little nervous. At that point, it was like, oh, this is real. Like, I'm about to, like, run for 26.2 miles. And on the bus ride there, I was on a bus where we had physical therapist on the bus as well. And so she kind of did like a little speech before we got off, and she told everyone, listen, you know, the first mile, you're not going to be able to really run. Like, you're going to line up and you're going to want to go out as fast as possible. But the worst thing you could do is weave in around people. So it's the first like mile or so, it's just bumper to bumper people. So she's like, take your time. She goes, it shouldn't be your fastest mile, shouldn't be your first mile, maybe not even your second. And they said, typically when you're running, she goes, you're not going to start feeling great until mile three. She goes, mile three, then you kind of go out and you go for it. So I listened to the first mile. My first mile, I want to say, was about a 10 and a half. And then after that, I kind of bumped it to sub-10s for a while. And, I just kind of felt good just kind of going with the crowd. It's funny, there was probably about a half a mile walk from the school to the starting line. And as you got closer to the starting line, they had like a whole section off to the side with like porta potties and bathrooms and all that stuff. You stop the race, and probably about not even a quarter of a mile in, there's like some woods off to the left-hand side. And you just see everybody running that way. There's so many people running in and out of the woods, like using it for the bathroom. It's like, guys, it was just a porta potty, like a half mile
you didn't
that
plan
way.
Ahead for this.
So it was just kind of funny to see. The first couple of miles was, tough just to kind of get started and get into a groove, especially when you're like that much surrounded by people and trying to like, tell yourself like, hey, like, I don't need to go as fast as this person next to me. Don't zigzag through people. That's one, you're adding more miles than you probably need to. And that's really just, not really great technique to kind of do. And, I tried that whole race. I almost pretty much stayed like in the middle was my goal. Was like, I'm just going to stay in the middle of the road and just kind of go straight. So,
yeah. Do you think that would have been the plan if that physical therapist hadn't like put that plan to that on your head? Like, had you heard that before?
Yeah, probably not. I think, even now, like any race you kind of go to, it's like you, in your head, you're like, all right, I'm going to try to do a negative split this, on this race, and I'm going to start slow. And,
right.
And then as soon as that starting line goes off, people start running, the person next to you is like, takes off fast, and you're like, ooh, I can do that too. And you start taking off fast. And, it's definitely, I haven't figured out that technique yet. Sometimes I feel as if I start slow, I'll stay slow the whole time, versus if I start fast, at least I can get some quick miles in and then slow down. So I haven't mastered yet that whole, I try to compare and contrast, like, hey, what can I do? What really works best for me. So, but it's definitely hard, to keep yourself with that mentality of, I'm going to start slow. Especially when there's so many people running with you and they don't start slow, if they don't have that same mentality, and it's like, ooh, like I can keep up with this person, like let me keep running. So sometimes having that vision tunnel of like, hey, this is just me versus me, that's it, go at your own pace and kind of do your own plan.
Yeah. And it's tough for big major races. I haven't ran one myself, but just talking to people on the podcast about it, it's tough for those races too, to like, you want to be involved with the race environment and the people and the adrenaline and all that, but that can also pick up your pace a little bit. So you have to kind of like check yourself, be present, be in the moment, but check yourself that you're not letting that impact your pace and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think, the first few miles, there was a decent crowd, especially at the start line, and that environment just kind of like hypes you up and wants you to, you just want to get moving,
absolutely.
And then pretty much all throughout the course, I want to say there was probably about two or three spots maybe where there was like a dead zone, where there's no one, kind of, there wasn't a lot of people, spectators, just because of the location, and it was just kind of like no sidewalks and stuff like that. So I think during those parts, you're kind of just like looking around, you're like taking it all in, like, oh man, like, this is crazy. And, you know, I had the Shox headphones, the Open Run Pros, which was nice because they kind of sit outside your ear. And I was able to kind of, you know, still hear the crowd. And then during those dead spots, I was able to listen to my music. You know, so it wasn't, you know, I was talking to people leading up to the race and they're like, oh, don't wear headphones when you run the race, you know, enjoy the crowd. Or people are saying, oh, wear headphones because it's going to be, you know, you're going to need that music. And so it was just nice having those because I was able to hear the crowd when the crowd was there. And then when the crowd wasn't, you know, you were able to hear your music still, which was nice to kind of keep that going.
Yeah. Keep something to keep going for sure.
I definitely need the music. I have not been able to run without it yet. I know some people will go out there and run, no music. I just can't do that. I need something.
I'm the same way. Yeah. Race day, I'm a little better. I can like take them out for periods of time, like you said, when the crowd's a little bit better or something like that. But definitely for training and in those dead spots, I'm not a listen to my thoughts kind of runner either.
No, I can listen to my thoughts, but I need the music first. And then
in the background, well, cool. And then what point in the race did you feel like you went from like, I'm feeling good, I'm feeling strong, awesome, to, okay, I'm feeling a little fatigued? I feel like that's, there's always a point where we kind of hit that. Maybe not the wall necessarily, but a fatigue point.
I definitely started slowing back down again, probably around mile 11. And it was just kind of, you know, legs cramping a little bit, you know, trying to, I didn't bring water with me. To me, I was kind of more relying on the water stations. So that's kind of where I was getting my water and, you know, I had my fuel, but I just kind of stuck to the water tables and stuff like that. But, you know, it was just getting to that point where, you know, your legs are, they're getting tired. And, you know, and I think, you know, for the fact that I did have, you know, a good amount of the sub tens for a little while, which was probably a little bit faster than what I probably should have been doing. But it was, you know, it just felt good when I was doing it. So I just kept, you know, going for as long as I could. And I think it was like around mile 11, I started slowing down a little bit. But I was still able to kind of keep that, you know, 10-ish mile pace for a while after that. And it was really kind of, you know, and like I said, it was certain points where, you know, you'd have the crowd and you're kind of amped up from the crowd and that would carry you for a while. I had a couple of friends that were train hopping along the course. So they would kind of follow me on the tracker. So I'd see them a few times, which was kind of fun. And then I had, you know, my family was all stationed up around mile 17, I believe. So my goal was like, hey, like I'm getting there. I got to get to mile 17 and, you know, I'm going to make it. And so it's kind of, you know, just having that, knowing that there was people out there too and where they were was nice because I was able to kind of like, gave me something to look forward to.
Yeah. Especially I think 17 is a great spot because that's usually where people start to like the race starts to turn maybe up. You start to feel the wall a little bit at that point. So that's great. So you got a little boost from them. And then what was 17 to 26 like?
It was tough. You know, there's definitely some points where it was kind of like, oh man, like, can I keep going? Like, can I keep doing this? And, you know, it was, I had a few other people closer. I think it was like around mile 20 something. I think there was some people that was like the last group that I saw that I knew, you know, and then after that, it was pretty flat. So at that point, you know, and I ran a lot of that part of the course every week. So I knew where I was. I knew how much time I had left. And, you know, in my head, I was like, all right, I can do this. I just keep going one step at a time. And, you know, you would look ahead and try to find different spots and be like, all right, I have until like, I'm going to try to speed up until this point and then I'll kind of slow it down again and then speed up again. So I kind of had these little like landmarks that I was kind of utilizing to try to get myself to move forward. And then, you know, once you go into Commonwealth Ave, you know, and by the time, you know, for me, it was, I was around my marathon time that year was like a 4:47. So there was still a decent crowd out and a lot of the crowd at that time were already, you know, a few more beers in than the earlier crowd that I saw. So they were a lot more hype and a lot of fun crowd. So yeah, I think having that out there was great and definitely helped move me along.
Yeah. Crowd support's huge. Did you have your name written on your ribs? So they were yelling your name and everything.
So they had it on the charity group. They had them printed on the shirts. So the singlet I had my name on it, which was great.
Yeah. That's awesome. Cool. And then what was finish line like? What was it like crossing the finish line at
It
Boston?
was crazy. It was, it was so packed, that whole area, the
Yeah.
crowd, the spectators, and then even like the finish line chute, of runners, and that last whatever it is, tenth of a mile or so, it's you're full on, like, all right, I'm going, like, as fast as you can. And it was just a crazy experience. And everyone, people are cheering you on, someone's coming up behind you, they're like, keep going, you got this, and cheering you on.
Yeah.
I think it was definitely a great experience, and probably, like, will always be, for me, like, my favorite race and my favorite, like, finish line shoot. One thing I
Yeah.
wish they did a little differently is, once you cross the finish line, and I feel like once you cross, it's such a long, much longer of a walk to get out of the finish line chute. So at that point, like, you're kind of
Yeah.
like, oh man, I'm ready to, like, I know I got to keep walking, I got to keep moving, but it was like crowded, people are getting their medals. It's like, where's my water? Like, you had some people handing out waters, and then, a little bit further, that's when you get the medal. And, it's like trying to feel like you're not going to miss something at the same time. But
Right,
then
yeah, it's
trying
just a
to, like,
zoo.
keep moving through that crowd of people is, it was interesting.
Yeah. Was it like all the finishers that finished around the same
Yeah,
time as you,
so
or were people do people just kind of
there
like
was
linger?
finishers, there was volunteers, there was a lot of volunteers at the finish line, whether they're putting the, those little blanket things on you. And
Yeah.
it was just, they had some photo op places, so there was people waiting kind of in line for the photo ops with the marathon logo behind them. And it was so it was just a decent crowd of between volunteers and spectators and stuff like that. And then once a certain point came
Yeah.
through, like, the spectators were kind of like in there a little bit, and families and stuff like that. But it was,
So just a mess a little bit at the end when you're
pretty
exhausted.
much. And it was like, all I wanted to do was just, like, get away from people and just, like, have
Right.
my own little time for a little bit. But yeah.
Sure. Let it all soak in, maybe. Well, cool. I mean, for your first experience, especially being at Boston, it seems like everything went pretty much according to plan. I mean, no major I guess scenarios that took place in
Yeah,
your first
no.
marathon. Seems pretty
It
smooth.
was nice. No mate, like, no injuries. I think once I got to the top of
Yeah.
the hills, they had some of the aid tents. They actually were out there spraying biofreeze, so I went over to those for a few of those tents and got some biofreeze sprayed on my legs, which felt nice.
Yeah.
But other than that, there was, I couldn't have asked for a better run, or, even a better race day. Like I said, it rained a little bit.
Yeah.
There was some sprinkles, but it was perfect. Like, I felt like it was just enough to kind of, like, cool you down a little bit, and it was, like, refreshing, as opposed to, like, what I heard was in 2018, it, like, downpoured the whole race.
Yeah, and
Which,
you're running in
yeah,
wet socks and it's
no.
not fun.
So this
Yeah.
one, it was good. It was perfect.
Good. Yeah, that sounds fantastic. And then because it was such a good experience, I know you have two other marathons under your belt, but were you thinking like kind of directly after that, I got to run this thing back? Because I know it was a one and done thing for you
Yeah,
at
so at
first.
first, that was the only one I wanted to do. And then after I finished that, my friend that I have ran with previously said, hey, let's do the Marine Corps Marathon together. And he's done it in the past, and he's
Yeah.
like, let's do this, we'll train. So I was like, all right. So I signed up for the Marine Corps Marathon to be my second. And, that was a lot different training than I did for the Boston. I was hitting my miles every weekend. It was the weekdays at the beginning. I was running a lot more in the week. At that point, I stopped doing the boxing, so my cardio became more of just running, as opposed to, doing the boxing and the, different core workouts. So, the Marine Corps Marathon, I did focus a lot more on just running, as opposed to any other cardio. And it was, everything went pretty good. Again, I did another Spartan race that year, which kind of injured myself a little bit for that, which kind of stunk, because it kind of put me off the shelf for like 2 weeks of running, which was in August. And then when September came around, I had some other health issues and stuff like that going on. I've always had high blood pressure, and I think I'm gonna say in like May or June of 2023, I just decided to stop taking my medicine for it, and I was like, I don't need to take this anymore, I'm good. In September, my doctor said differently, so they put me back on the medication. And I want to say it was, I had a half marathon on October 6th. And after that, they were putting me on a new medication, which I started after that half marathon. And that half marathon was probably like my last, at the time, best race. And that was the Rockfest half up at Hampton Beach. So it was nice being along the sea coast, and they had a great like little after party with the band and stuff afterwards. But then that next, you know, after that, I started taking the new medication. And after that, it was, I felt like everything just kind of went downhill a little bit on the runs. When I went to do the Marine Corps marathon, I had higher hopes, but around mile two, I would say, I just couldn't keep up. I just felt like the whole time, like my chest kept getting like tight. But I told myself, like, I drove, it was like 6 hours or 7 hours down here. I'm like, I'm finishing this race. Wow. I'm not like, you know, we got a hotel. I think it was like two nights or three nights at a hotel. We had, you know, the drive down, the drive back. And I was like, you know what? I'm finishing. I am not giving up. You know, the course there is all lined with like Marines along the entire course, which is like amazing. Right. Like, you know, having them there cheering you on and, you know, all the monuments. So, you know, at that point, like I had a water vest, like one of those water, the vest on with the water pouches on the front. I ended up having to toss that off to the side because I felt like it was just kept getting tighter and tighter. So that race for me became more of like a walk run. A couple of times where I thought about like, I should probably stop and I should probably just kind of like give up. But then if I knew if I went to an aid station that they'd probably take me off the course. So, you know, I told myself, I'm like, nope, I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to listen to my body. I'll walk when I have to, run when I can. You know, and for me, that was, I want to say I finished that in around 5.5 hours. So I didn't think that was as bad as, but I was, you know, projecting a hopefully, I was projecting to be better than I was in Boston. It was a lot flatter than Boston.
Sure.
Should have been better. Definitely better than Boston. I trained more for the runs that when, but you know, the health issues just kind of got to me. And after that race, when I came home, I actually went and did a stress test, and that stress, when I did the stress test with the doctor, they actually had to stop it, you know, and they put you on a treadmill, have you attached to all these different wires, and they're following my blood pressure. And within, I think, 5 minutes on the treadmill, they start you off like a slow walk, and they start speeding up the walk. And it's supposed to get to like a running pace. But before we even got to the running pace, my blood pressure hit like 200 over 100 and something. So they were like, we need to stop this. Like, you know, they told me no activity for a while. And so I had to go see a cardiologist. And, you know, everything was clear. Everything was, they couldn't find any issues. You know, and they're, you know, obviously just kind of more medication, different medication. So one of the things, you know, I kind of stuck with what they were telling me to do, but they wanted me on like a diuretic medication, which, you know, I just kept myself off that because, you know, that was that medication. Once they put me on it, I felt like that's when I started having all my little issues. And ever since I stopped taking it, I've been fine and, you know, been able to run again. And so I had about a month and a half to 2 months of like no activity, which was horrible. I went and did my first 5K after all that in January. And I want to say it was like a 28-minute 5K where, you know, previously before that I was doing, you know, I think that November I did like a 24-minute in 5K. So added on about 4 minutes or so. You know, so at that point I knew, oh my God, I got to get back in the gear and get back into running again.
Yeah. What, like mentally that's difficult, especially somebody who was coming from like a new relationship with movement, I guess you could say, starting your running journey. That period where you were at a complete halt, like were you just itching to get back to running and that was what was keeping you motivated, or how were you keeping yourself motivated during that time?
Yeah, I definitely wanted to get back into running as soon as can. You know, it was a little discouraging also, you know, especially not being able to do any of the physical activity for a while. So trying to, once I was cleared to go back to physical activity, it was just kind of tough to get back into the, you know, the mindset again, that motivation to do it. You know, and then especially once you start running again and your pace, like again, you know, I was starting to watch my paces a little bit more. I'm like, oh man, like why am I not as good as I was, you know, 2 months ago? And, you know, so that was kind of discouraging for a little while at the beginning. and then just got, like I said, I did my 5K in January, and, you know, it was very discouraging to see kind of my time for that. I knew I probably could have done better, you know, but it was just, you know, it is what it is at that point, and just kind of had to start from square one.
Yeah. Start again. Reset the goals maybe a little bit. And then your third marathon, to fast forward a little bit to that one, I'm curious, like, from your first marathon experience that went pretty smooth, and then you had your second marathon experience where you had some health things going on. What were you thinking you were going to change for the third time around?
The third marathon was back at Boston, and I did not know about I was going to run it until about January of 20. I think it was the end of January. There was a Poland Springs did an Instagram contest. So I ended up winning a contest, and I was one of the 15 runners that they picked to run the marathon on their team. So, you know, training for me didn't really start until early February for that. And, you know, I felt like this time now I was getting more running during the week, but I was also doing strength training, which I didn't do for the previous two marathons. You know, the first marathon, like I said, it was more boxing and cardio. The second marathon, I was pretty much following a regiment, like training plan of running almost 3 or 4 days a week. And then the third marathon was, I'm going to do more strength training and try to work on the legs a little bit. And I would do some treadmill running during the week as well, based off of Garmin suggestions. You know, and I did really good. I made it up to my training runs, made it up to 17 and a half miles, which that run I did was down in Boston. And I ended up rolling my ankle around mile six, I rolled my ankle. Mm. And I went, you know, another 11 miles. And then at that point, I was like, all right, I'm done. I think it was supposed to be like an 18 or 19, supposed to be a 19-mile run that day. And I had to stop at like 17 and a half because I was like, I can't keep going. My ankle was like swollen. And then after that, you know, that kind of derailed training a little bit. You know, but even that, you know, 17 and a half miles that I did that day, I think I was just under 11-minute pace. Or right around an 11. So I had high hopes going into Boston this year of like, oh, I'm going to do great. I'm going to, you know, my trainings has me to be like a 4.5, and it was going to be better than my previous Boston. And then I just couldn't, I think day of that Boston race, it just couldn't get under like 13 minute miles. And the struggle was real that day.
Yeah. Do you think it was like weather related, body related? What do you think?
I think a lot of that? I mean, it was a lot hotter this year. The heat was brutal. The sun was out. I want to say it was probably about 75 to 80 degrees. No rain at all. So it was a whole lot different experience than the previous year. You know, and then as you are, you know, as my pace was slower, you know, the crowd was not as, you know, active as it was the year before. It was just a whole different experience. You know, and at one point, you know, the cleanup crew was driving the truck right behind you, and they're like beeping at you to have you move off to the side so they can get past you. And, you know, so it became really discouraging at that point. And, you know, right around then, I want to say like mile 14 or 15, I almost was like, you know, I should just stop. Like, I'm done. Like, this is miserable. This is not going the way I wanted it to go. But, you know, I didn't want to quit. And I just told myself, you know, I can't quit. I just got to keep going and just kind of deal with, you know, whatever I get for a time. And, you know, you live and you learn.
Yeah. Just keep pushing. I mean, what do they say when the weather's that big of a change, you have to add 30 seconds at least to your pace just to match the effort that you were putting in when the weather's a little bit cooler. So that definitely wasn't in your favor, it sounds like.
It's a lot different. You know, you're training all winter long for, you know, Boston, you're running in the snow, you're running in the rain, you know, and then you get out, it's like 50, 60 degrees on your training runs, you know, and then you get to race day and it's like 20 to 30 degrees higher. So it was definitely, you know, a lot more challenging and, you know, discouraging. You know, my legs were just, the legs did not want to move that day. Like, I felt like my cardio was good. My cardio was fine. The legs just didn't want to go. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just a testament to every race being a little bit different. And some things are in your control, obviously, but I think most of it that you find on race day is not in your control. Right. It's just the day is going to do what the day is going to do, no matter what we do, you know?
So, you know, I think, I'll say Boston was my best experience. This last one, not so much.
Yeah.
Even now, like, the way that Boston does their time, and I know there was like a whole thing on Instagram where with posts, and you know, you have a lot of the elite runners up that are, they don't help with encouraging runners. So they would say that, you know, the slower runners don't belong on the course, and you know, this is an elite race, and not, you know, they shouldn't have so many charity runners, and you know, it's tough. And, you know, I get that they shut down the streets of Boston for, you know, a whole day, maybe even the day before a little bit. You know, you have to open the streets up at some point. But for me, like, I crossed, it took me, I think this year, just over almost 6.5 hours, which was almost 2 hours longer mm-hmm. than my first one. And, you know, because of starting at 11:15, I missed the cutoff time at, I think the cutoff time was 5:20 or something that day. And I think I crossed like around 5:40 or something. And I missed it by 20 minutes, the cutoff time. I think, you know, it's tough because they, you know, they come up with the finish, you know, the little pamphlet book afterwards online, and it has all the Boston Marathon official finishers. You know, and for me, I finished at, you know, again, around 6.5 hours. And I'm not in that book because I'm not an official finisher. But there's someone that's, there's people in there that are at 7 hours and they're in the book. But that was because they started at, you know, 10 o'clock versus an 11:15. So the way that they do it is 6 hours after the last person crosses the starting line. You know, so when you start in the start, if you're crossing at 10 o'clock, you have, you know, more of an advantage time-wise and length than those who start at, you know, 11:15. So it does become a little discouraging. And then when you start seeing all the different comments and stuff online from people, and there was one kid who I actually crossed the finish line with. He was going for his 6-star finisher. Like, that was his 6th race, 6th major.
Oh, that's awful.
And he missed it by about 20 minutes too. And, you know,
that's awful.
It was just people were saying, oh, well, you know, we don't belong, you guys don't belong in these races and blah, blah, blah. This should be an elite thing. If you can't finish it in 6 hours, then why are you there? You know, and it's, like I said, it's different. And every day is different. Every race is different. You know, you can train all you want and, you know, have a great race one day and a horrible race the next. Like, you know, I think,
absolutely.
You know, like I said, I get that Boston needs the cutoff time, but for one of the things was, you know, they think they do it because they stop pulling the check-in mats, you know, and you cross the finish line and you're getting a time. But because you missed a check-in mat, they can't consider it official. You know, and it's one of those things I'm like, well, all right, if I'm running a 6-hour marathon, who cares if I missed the last mat? Like, I'm not winning any prizes. Like, I'm not cheating to get to the finish line.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just
like,
for me.
You know, and I get it. Like, they're probably like, oh, well, we can't, you know, you make sure everyone hits each mat so that way they're not cheating. They're not taking the train. I'm like, listen, if I'm cheating and taking a train, like, I'm not going to be, I'm going to be out here a lot less. So, you know, I think, you know, I think they have some work to do, especially for like a race that they're trying to make, you know, all encompassing for everybody. You know, and I think, you know, the elite runners who say that charity runners don't belong there, you know, it's, I think the charity runners belong more than, you know, as much as they do. And, you know, I think it's just it's a race for everybody and everybody should be able to have that chance to go out and enjoy it.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I agree. I think they definitely have some work to be done there. It's like, it's almost like they can't decide what kind of race they want to be. Do you want to cater to the elite people or do you want to be more inclusive? You can't have this middle ground where you're ending up excluding people anyways when you're trying to be inclusive. And I knew about the cutoff thing, but the way you described it just kind of clicked it all into place for me of, you could have somebody that runs slower than you that ends up qualifying and you don't.
And I mean,
that's,
you know,
that's
ones that are like, you know, they do the different age groups, right? So an age group that has, you know, a 5-hour time limit, you know, I think, I don't know if it's like 70 or 60 or something like that, you know? And if they start at 10 o'clock, you know, now they have, you know, longer time, where the charity runners who, you know, we're not there based off of, and as a runner of Poland Springs, I was still in that, like, you know, the charity running group kind of thing. They kind of put you in that same field and wave. But they're not, you know, where everyone's a different pace in that group. You know, you have a lot, you have some fast runners in that pace. You have some slower runners. You have, you know, runners that have never run it before. And, you know, to me, everyone's out there for a different reason. You know, and I think that, you know, everyone belongs out there for whatever reason it may be.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally agree. I'm really glad that you brought it up, and I'm glad to have somebody on the show that I love the BQers. I love all the people that I've talked to. Obviously, everybody has different goals, like we said, but it's been really great kind of getting your perspective on the Boston Marathon as well as somebody that went through charity. So appreciate you.
I will say, I think it might have been like your second or third episode with Alex Herms. Uh-huh. So yeah. I met him in Boston at the marathon, pretty much. And it was funny, so I started following him after that, and that's kind of how I found out about this podcast. But I want to say like right before the hills. He was off to the side giving away these pizza these pizza bites. They're like pizza muffins. And yeah. I got a picture with them. I was like, oh, dude, this is awesome. Thank you so much. And, you know, like going up the hills, like I was taking like mouse-sized bites. Like I felt like I couldn't eat anything, sure. But I felt like I needed something. So like the whole time at the hill, like I just kept taking little tiny bites. And then I had to message him on Instagram. I was like, dude, thank you so much for this. This was great.
saved me.
but yeah, he was just, he's a fun dude to watch and see his, you know, journey and his story on Instagram has been great too. But yeah.
Yeah, no, he's great for the community of people who are not the speed racers, you know. He's great being kind of an advocate for the everyday runner and for somebody who's just doing it for the enjoyment of running. You know, no matter kind of what your body looks like, your pace is like. So I think we need more people like him in the community for sure.
Definitely, you know. But yeah, like I said, that's when I started following him, and then I saw like he was on the he posted about being on the podcast. So I think the weekly may have tagged him or something like that in it. And I saw, and that's kind of how I learned about it. So
funny. That's awesome. I'm glad it's getting out there like that. well, cool. Well, thank you again for breaking down your experiences. I know we just touched a little bit about fuel. So we could talk a little bit about what your favorite fuel options have been throughout this entire journey. Aside from pizza bagels, maybe, but what have you liked, in terms of fuel for your experiences?
So I never used fuel until my first marathon. And when I was training, I started using the UCANs. For me, it was great because there's no sugar. They have their own kind of, it's like a Live Strong ingredient. So they have a product that they call as Live Steady, which is supposed to, it's a little bit more carbs, but it breaks down slower into your body, and doesn't give you that like sugar rush. That most of the other gels have, you know, because when any sugar rush becomes a sugar crash. So that's why I kind of like the UCANs. So I started using them. I used them for my first Boston. And then I pretty much anything like 10K and above, those are kind of like my go-to gels. And I was lucky enough this past year to become an ambassador for them too. So, you know, that's kind of helped out a little bit. But yeah, so I've been able to kind of use them. I've started off with their gels. Recently, probably the last 4 or 5 months, I've started taking they have protein powders, and they also have the electrolyte sticks as well. Some kind of more all encompassed with their products now and just taking their fuel.
Yeah. You like the gels the best though?
Yeah. I love the gels.
Is there
a flavor? So I was the strawberry banana flavor for a while. I've got a sample pack which had a pineapple in there, and I was a little skeptical of the pineapple, but it was actually really good. And especially during the summer months, my technique now is, depending on how many I take with me, I'll freeze half of them in the freezer the night before. That way when I have them in my pouch in the back, I put the frozen ones kind of at the back, but it keeps all the other ones cold also. So that way, when you go to take them, you're not taking like a lukewarm gel, you know, a nice,
Or they're all stuck together or something like that.
You know,
like
so
that.
When I first started taking them, it was in the wintertime, and I was like, oh, these are great. They're, you know, and then I did a gel like in the summertime, my first one, and it was still good. It still did what it needed to do. But when you're trying to take it down, it was just warm. Like, you know, it's like right next to you know, yeah. You're sweating and it's probably, you know, it's still in a bag in the pouch and stuff, but it's like just warm. And I was like, whoa, it's like it's taking a warm texture. Yogurt, you know? I found the trick of freezing a couple, keep them all kind of cold, and it's been so good.
That's smart. Yeah, so. I like that. Cool. So you can, you're a big fan of, and then another one I always ask about is shoes. I'll give the disclaimer, since I didn't give it for fuel, that everybody's journey is different. So do what you need to do for your own shoes, do what you need to do for your own fuel. But for you, so what do you like for shoes?
I started off with Hokas. I was, on the Clifton 8s for a while. So I had three pairs of those. It was one of the ones I kind of went to, you know, a shoe store locally, got fitted, and those kind of worked for me for a while. Then when I went back to the shoe store, they actually put me into Brooks. So I've been doing the Brooks Glycerins, GTS. And then I also just recently bought another pair of Brooks, the Hypermax, or the Hyperion Max, through Amazon Prime Day. So I'm still kind of playing around with shoes right now. I was lucky enough around Boston Marathon time this year. I'm an ambassador for Venture Endurance races also. And Reebok sent us all a pair of their new Float Zig shoes.
That's awesome.
So then I went on, like, the day before the marathon, I went out to Reebok's store down in Boston and did like a shakeout run with them, and wore the shoes and, you know, got some other apparel and swag. But I like their Float Zig. I wear them mostly for 5K races. They're very light and they got a nice little bounce to them. But typically the longer runs, I've been sticking to the Brooks right now.
Gotcha. Cool. I haven't heard Reebok as much. That's interesting. Is it more of like a speed shoe, would you say,
Their mission and their goal of this year is they've been trying to get into the running community more. So they've been coming out with new apparel and the running shoes, and they're just trying to get more active in the running space. So that was kind of nice to, you know, be able to be one of the first ones to get the new sneakers, which was nice. I was like, Rob, like, I didn't even know they were coming. And then all of a sudden, like, got it, like, this thing, like, you know, from my email saying, oh, yeah, package is arriving. And I was like, huh, like, what's coming in? And all of a sudden, I open up the thing and Reebok sneakers. I'm like, where do these sneakers come from? Like, I did not know. But then, the group I was in for the Venture Endurance races, they, like, oh, yeah, Reebok is sending everyone sneakers to try and, you know, post videos and stuff like that and try to advertise it on social media if you like them. So I did a couple of those. Yeah.
That's really been cool. Fun. We'll have to keep an eye out for Reebok up and coming in the running space. Very cool. Well, sweet. Well, I think that pretty much covers all my questions. The only thing I have left is what's coming up next for you. Do you have anything on the calendar you have your eyes on for right now?
I'm in a run club over here. We have the Greater Lowell Roadrunners, and they host the Bay State Marathon every year in October. It was actually last year was when Chara, from the former Bruins player there, that was his BQ race. So he ended up ran the Bay State last year and qualified for Boston Marathon through that race. I don't plan to follow his footsteps and qualify, but I will think that will be my next marathon this year. It will be the Bay State Marathon, which is nice. It's a local run, pretty flat course.
Yeah.
So I think that's...
Hopefully you get your redemption back.
I need that flat course to kind of be that motivation, I think, of saying, hey, like, I can do this still and, you know, get back out there.
For sure.
So.
For sure. Well, cool. We're looking forward to seeing you start to train for that thing, and seeing you race it later in the year. That's gonna be awesome. And then for anybody else that wants to follow along with you while you're training,
so I am on Instagram at 305 no more, Facebook, TikTok sometimes, YouTube sometimes. I've been trying to post stuff on there every so often. I'm not really great with the videos, but I try to every so often get some out there. Yeah. And then, you know, like I've mentioned once, you know, if you're looking for any sweet deals or anything, I got my little Linktree link on my bio on Instagram and got some pretty good discount codes in there as well. So.
Cool. I'm happy to link some of them too. The UCAN one, since you mentioned that one, I can put it in the show notes as well. So people can save a little bit on that product. So Gotta love it. That's a good one. I see 10% off pretty often. I don't see 15%. Awesome. So that's a good one. Well, very cool. Well, thank you again for walking through your journey. It was awesome getting to talk to you and getting to know you a little better. Thank you so much for tuning into another episode. If you're enjoying My First Marathon, it would mean the world to me if you could rate and review the show. And if you or someone you know has ran a marathon and would like to share your story, I have a guest form to fill out in my bio on Instagram. That username is @myfirstmarathonpod. See you on the next one.